nervous too.
I hope we can articulate this well.
Yeah. It will be an interesting episode.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
All right. Welcome back.
Yes.
To episode 33 of season 4. It's 30.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Before we jump into our conversation, we should do a quick check-in, because we also have a very long episode today, right? Or lots of information. Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, so how are you doing, Crystal? I heard you have some rants to talk about.
Oh my gosh, I have two rants. I'll talk about my first. Okay, I feel like this can be a whole separate conversation on itself, though. I think maybe in the future we can do something about, like, people gatekeeping Chinese New Year, Lunar New Year. But basically, I was browsing on Instagram, as I do. I'll try to summarize this really quick. And I saw a comment on Disney's Lunar New Year post saying that, basically, she was saying that if you took away the word Chinese from Chinese New Year, and if you took the word Chinese away from Chinese New Year and replaced it with Lunar New Year, you lose a lot of the New Year traditions, because a lot of the culture of Chinese New Year, Lunar New Year is rooted in Chinese culture. And I was like, why can't just let Disney call it Lunar New Year? It's more inclusive and let people call it Lunar New Year. So I got into an Instagram like comment battle with her, and I was trying to tell her that it should be okay for people to call it Lunar New Year. Like, I didn't understand why she was trying to gatekeep this festival, because obviously in history, not a lot of other countries celebrated too. But she ended up explaining it to me. She was saying how for Disney specifically, it seems like they're lumping all these countries that celebrate Lunar New Year together. So like maybe guests who go to Disneyland will not know like that there's a difference between like Koreans or Chinese people or like people in Vietnam who celebrate like Lunar New Year differently. So I was like, that's kind of true. But there's also people who, like, religiously gatekeep certain traditions. Like, they own it. And why? Just be inclusive. Another incident that I had with a Karen is that I was actually at this restaurant with my mom. And this woman and her family were standing outside waiting. And I was like, why are they not going into the restaurant? She was yelling. She was like, she was yelling very aggressively, like she was like in a fight with someone, but she was yelling at no one. And I was like, maybe she's just yelling at her kid who's still inside to like come out and stuff. So I like ignored it and I walked past, because I feel like if you're yelling at your kid, that's not the best parenting, but it's not my business that you, like how you like parent your child, right? So I was like, okay, I'll just ignore it. And apparently she was yelling at the staff who was working there, because she was waiting for a table, and she was like, oh, I've waited for so long, and she wanted a window table and she refused to sit at any other table. And I'm like, will you die if you don't sit by the window? Like, what is going on? And her kid was probably like 6 or 7. And I was like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. And then her husband was like so scared and trying to talk to like apologizing for her to like the staff.
Oh my God.
And then when the staff finally went to like help them because she was throwing a tantrum, she was yelling at the staff. And I was like, and the staff was like, oh, because they don't have enough people working today, they couldn't open the inner dining area for the more window seats, because they like it's like a long walk, you know, like they don't have enough people to manage that. And then they opened up the seat for her, like they were already so nice to her, and she was still yelling to them. And I was like, literally, these people do not owe you anything. They can refuse you a service. Like, they're going above and beyond for you, so just like be quiet, please. And then I was so mad, because that's like my pet peeve. I hate people who think that they call what you hate, you know, like the world doesn't revolve around you. Like, what? Like, just sit.
Exactly.
Not by the window. I was so mad. And I was like trying to peek to see what they were doing. But then they left like really quick. And I was like, But that made me very mad. And
that's so ridiculous and inconsiderate.
A Hong Kong Karen. How about you? I know you have frustrations too.
I do have frustrations, but I'm going to be quick. So I ordered a new phone, the Pixel 6, promoted
by Simu Liu. Yeah, I was just like, well, one more reason for me to buy this phone. Because he was promoting it. Anyways, so my phone was supposed to come like 3 days ago. And they attempted delivery multiple times. And so on the package, I gave them the delivery instruction to call me upon arrival. I left them the phone number and everything. But then every single time, they didn't even try to call me or try to get into the building. And then they just left. And it was like, delivery attempt, business or building is closed. And I was like, what the hell? I'm literally right here inside the building. Like, you could just call me and I'll just go and get the package. Like, that would take like 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So multiple times that has happened. Like, this is not the first package delivered by FedEx that happened to me before. Like, my dad ordered an office chair and then it basically just got lost. They just left it in the South San Francisco fulfillment center. And they left it there. They attempted delivery once. And then they're like, oh, we're going to try again later. But then they just left it at the facilities and didn't deliver it. And we had to refund the chair, report it as missing. And even before that, when I ordered like a stationary bike for my home, there was one time it was already like a week or so late. And then on one day, they were like, oh, this package is delivered. And when I went to the lobby, there was nothing. And then they were like, oh, JK, we actually did not deliver. It was a mistake. So then,
why did they say delivered then? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, they just clicked the wrong button or something. That just made me very frustrated. Like, I haven't been having a good experience with FedEx lately. Like, they always mess up my shipment. So I'm a little frustrated because I was so excited for my phone. I was like, oh, today is a Sunday. Like, I have all the time I need to set up my new phone. Like, I'm so excited. Yeah, so that's my little rant. But my week was pretty good. You know, I just worked. And it's been going good. Busy.
Yes. Well, also, like, happy Lunar New Year.
Okay, yeah, I forgot. Everyone. Happy Lunar New Year.
Oh my gosh.
身体健康, 心身喜盛.
心身喜盛. 虎虎生威, 龙精虎满. Oh my gosh, wow. I was watching, like, a New Year countdown, and every celebrity on that show had to say, like, a New Year phrase. And then Gigi, like, Yiming Hei, we will talk about her later in this episode, but she was like, Fu Fu Da Zeng. And I was like, that's a good pun. Because it's Year of the Tiger, and Fu is tiger, and then Fu, like, Fu Fu Da Zeng. But then she said, Fu Fu Da Zeng.
What?
Like, two negatives equals one positive.
Whoa,
and, but then she changed the negative to tiger. Anyways, I thought that was cute.
So, what are we going to talk about?
Yeah, what are we going to talk about? We are going to talk about singing talent competitions. We kind of teased it last week with Mirror and how they were born out of a singing talent competition. So we wanted to deep dive into the history, the social, like, implications, how it's changed over the years. Yeah, we're here to tell you all the information.
Yeah, so to give y'all an overview, singing competitions and reality show, they actually have a very long history in Hong Kong as well as Taiwan and China. So we can trace back all the way to around the beginning of the 80s. There was a very popular Hong Kong talent competition called New Talent Sing Awards. It's called Chun Kao Wai and Sun Sao Go Chan Dai Choi. And a lot of people call it Sun Sao. And actually from that show, like, it gave birth to a lot of the big stars in the 80s cantopop scene.
like Anita Moy, like I think a few of the four kings of Cantopop.
Lai Ming.
Yeah. Was born out of that show. And my favorite, Grasshopper, also from that show.
Very well known fact now.
Yeah. So, and then after Sunsell, TVB also hosted The Voice, which lasts from 2009 to 2011. And then around, like, I don't remember there were any other, like, talent show in between until recently in 2018 again. We have the King Master / Goodnight Show, which was the show that Mirror was created. And in the past year, TVB actually had another singing competition show called Stars Academy, where popular singers like Yiming Hei Gigi and Chantel. And not only in Hong Kong, Taiwan is also a very important cultural center for Mandarin popular music, and it exports a lot of Mandopop to the rest of the world. While China is the world's 21st largest music market, Taiwan is the 27th. And China in recent years, they actually also have a lot of singing competitions, to name a few. There's Voice of China, Sing My Song, Zhongguo Hougaokou, the Rap of China. I didn't know about that. Like, you know, rap is a big thing in China then, huh? That's interesting. And also the infamous I Am a Singer, where I remember watching it every week when it was aired, like the second season was aired, because it was the season that Deng Jike Jem was born. Like, that's the show that she got super, super, super popular in China. And she's still a very prominent artist in China right now.
Wasn't that show where they would sing with a mask, right? Like, people wouldn't... Is that the show? What's that show? That's There's a show the where they sing singer. With a mask.
Mong okay. Turn tai tai tai.
Okay, because the U.S. started doing that lately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, oh, I think I've seen that before.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But yeah, Jem started in Hong Kong, right? Yeah, she started in Hong Kong and then she went to China. But she was, like, one of the first people to go to China. Like, she went, like, a while ago.
Yeah, I think, like, she's one of the people who got really popular in China. I would say. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, like, I'm sure the Four Kings, they also had their fans, like, Lau Dawa and Alan Tam. I think they also have, like, their development in China. They have their own fan group, but not as big as Jem. Mm-hmm. Like, because Jem right now, she's, like, one of the top artists in China.
She's so good.
She's really good. I still remember her first song, Where Did You Go? Remember?
I don't know that song.
Tell me, where did you go?
Oh, the first actual song I listened of her is just Pao Mo. That's like one of her most popular songs.
Yeah, it's really good. But anyways, so yeah, singing competitions, you have a very long history in Hong Kong as well as Taiwan and China.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's been a thing, and I feel like I always associate singing competitions with, like, America's Got Talent, or, like, what is the other one? X Factor? Like,
American Idol?
American Idol? Yeah. But I didn't even realize that Hong Kong and, like, Asia, it was so prominent already in Hong Kong and Asia.
We have The Voice here, too, right?
Actually, we have the Voice here. Well, The Voice is, like, international, I think. There's, like, The Voice China, The Voice, like, Indonesia. Like, there's all these The Voices in Europe, like, in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of The Voices. Yeah, so the New Talent Singing Awards, Sunsou Guo Cheng Dai Choi, started in 1982. That was the first singing competition, I think, in Hong Kong. And it's an annual singing competition organized by TVB that looks for new singers to enter the Asian music industry. So in 1993, which is like, oh my gosh, 10 years after they started, they added an overseas category. And they did that because there was more and more people immigrating to North America, and TVB opened this overseas contestant category to attract contestants in like Hong Kong or Asian, or just in general, I think. But I think they were trying to target like Hong Kong people who moved to like Vancouver, Toronto, New York, LA, and SF. So they added an overseas category where I guess they can come to Hong Kong and like be famous here, or like start their music career in Hong Kong.
I was like trying to look at all the artists that came out of the international version of the.
Wait, who are they?
Oh, so one of them is Lam Yik Hong.
He was an international one.
Yeah, from Rangawa, Vancouver.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know he came from this competition. There are a lot
After they added this overseas group, they actually decided to move the contest, like the show, to a Mandarin channel, and the international finals changed its name to International Chinese New Talent Singing Championship. I think a good thing to talk about now is like how, like, the importance of China and mainland China when it comes to Hong Kong's music industry. Because obviously, like, there's a huge market in mainland China. And we also talked about how, like, GEM, like, a lot of artists actually just go to mainland China because there's more opportunities and they can reach a larger audience. Like, how do we feel about that? Like, I feel like it's really cool, but also, like, part of me can't ignore, like, the Hong Kong-China relations.
Yeah, I think since we're talking about Jem, I think at the time when she went on the I Am a Singer competition, she actually got a lot of backlashes from the internet. A lot of people are saying how she was a traitor to Hong Kong. She's like, oh, now you're like popular and famous in mainland China, and you're gonna like just forget about us, you know. And, oh, like, they're talking about how, oh, you're always singing Mandarin songs. You don't even sing Cantonese songs anymore. Mm. And actually, because of that, I think in the fifth episode of that show, she actually, like, deliberately chose to sing a canto song, Hei Fu Nei.
That's a good song.
Yeah, but I think because of the grudges that between like Hong Kong and China relations, like I feel like a lot of Hong Kong people, like me including me, also struggle with the fact that, you know, like how do you come to terms with the fact that, oh, like China is having more and more influence over Hong Kong in so many different aspects. Our lives. And it's inevitable because, like you said, there's such a big market in China. And from an objective perspective speaking, like it does make sense for the artists to go to mainland China
and
make money.
Yeah, I was like, while I was researching this, actually, I found an article that was saying how like it kind of gives the message that Hong Kong's entertainment music industry would not be possible, but like it seems like it wouldn't exist without China. Let me find that quote actually. So the quote, it says, one analysis from a local independent outlet said that like these talent singing competitions, like The Voice, perpetuates the narrative that Hong Kong would be nowhere without China. Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, it's up to the artist themselves to decide. But it does accept that, you know, if you don't expand your career into mainland China, you'll be quote unquote less successful or make less money.
Do you think like Koreans in Korea feel the same about K-pop being mainstream?
What do you mean?
Like, I feel like because K-pop has become so mainstream, a lot of their songs are catered towards the American and like westernized audience, where it's like a lot of English. Like, they still keep a lot of like the dancing and like the extravagant music videos, but I feel like they're all in English now, which makes sense because they want masses to like be able to understand it. But I wonder if Korean people feel betrayed. I don't know if it's like the same comparison, but that was the first thing that I thought of.
Yeah, that's a fair comparison though, but I can't speak for Korean.
Yeah, because it's also like when a Hong Kong celebrity makes it in like China, like their roots, they're still Hong Kongers. So I feel like maybe part of it would be, oh, we should feel proud for this person, you know, like we've made, like they've expanded their music career. And they're from Hong Kong, like that's so cool, like they're so famous. But also, I think it's different with Hong Kong and China, though.
Yeah, I think this is different because remember in the last episode we talked about how Gunko was featured in Vanity Fair.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I'm thinking about it, I'm like, wow, I'm like so proud. Like, he made it to the American market. Like, what? That's a big accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
So after the New Talent Singing Awards, TVB and another entertainment company called
Emperor something.
I call them Egg.
Emperor Entertainment Group.
Yeah, Emperor Entertainment Group.
Egg.
So, they also hosted other new talent shows, but in 2009, TVB hosted The Voice, which mainly attracted other Hong Kong logos to come on to the singing competition. And I think it is one of the first singing competition reality show that they brought back to their main channel, because for a while the international new talent show were aired on TVB8, which is a Mandarin channel, but when they hosted The Voice, it was actually aired on the main Jade channel. So yeah, did you have any memories watching that show?
Not really, I don't think I watched it, but my friend really likes Maglam, like Lam Yun Tong. So I was like, okay. In 7th grade. Wasn't Yu Kwan in this?
Yeah.
Really? Okay, to be fair though, Yu Kwan took a long, long time to become famous. Like, if he competed on The Voice, like, he didn't get famous until, like, I don't know, like, more recently. Mm-hmm. That's funny. I went to a fan club meeting of Yu Kwan because my friend really liked him. Yes. I didn't know he was from The Voice, though.
Uh-huh. He was from The Voice, and you know Jay Fong? Like, he's more of a R&B artist now. But he also just got popular recently, I think. He just had his, like, singles and, like, albums and stuff recently. But the show was a long time ago.
2009 or 2010. Yeah, 2010, because I was in 7th grade. And that was when I first heard of their names. Yeah, did you watch it? You were in 6th grade.
Yeah, I think I did watch it. I don't really remember the first season. I don't remember, like, who got the first place. But I do remember Meg. I think she was, like, really popular, like, a big hit at the time because
she was.
People said that she was, like, another version of Jen. Because a Xiu Ge, if I, a small, okay, that doesn't sound.
Small, big lungs.
Yeah, I know. That doesn't make sense at all.
But like, small as in, like, cute. Like,
yeah.
Or, like young.
Younger one, you know, because Jem is, like, the first person in Hong Kong who has, like, a really big lung, I guess.
That's true. Like, they can belt.
Yeah. And then Lam Yun Tong, Mac, was, like, the second person who was recognized for, you know, just being able to hold a really long breath. Having a really big lung. Yeah, so I remember that. And I think it was, like, a really nice show to be able to watch every weekend. Like, I do remember I would, like, sit together with my family and then watch the competition every week.
Aw, yeah. Wholesome.
Yeah. But there was one tricky thing about this competition, though, from your research, that I didn't know about. So on the season 3 of The Voice, they actually added an age restriction from 15 to 30 years old, and focal group entries of up to 8 people were denied because of the age restriction. So what do we think about that age limit restriction?
I feel like 30 is really young. Like, there's this girl in Collar, the new girl group, who's 36. And she shouldn't be eliminated from attending. I don't know. Like, I feel like 15 is really extremely young, too.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe they should have made it to 18, like, when they're actually done with, like, their high school education. And I think they should extend the range to, like, past 30. Because, like, what does that say about what people think have potential to be, like, a celebrity? You know? Like, older people can't be celebrities.
Right.
What about people who are 50 and want to start a music career? Yeah, like, what if they just sing? Exactly. Like, look at Susan Boyle. Like, she, like, won, I think, Britain's Got Talent or something. Because she has an amazing voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there is a lot of business implication behind it. Like, because we'll touch upon it later on, too, when we talk about Stars Academy. But basically, people who came out of these shows, especially The Voice, which is produced by TVB, which is, like, the biggest broadcast company in Hong Kong. Like, I think still a lot of people, at least, like, growing up, many families will watch their TV show. And the fact that they are pushing out these new singers, it creates a pipeline for them to. These, like, contestants, after the competition, they became, like, the new actors, actresses, or, like, MC, host, or singer of, like, a new show's theme song, all of that. Like, it's an entire pipeline that they need to go through after the competition. And I think that this is a way of how the company, you know, they want to cultivate a group of youngins that they can what's the word they can like use like hire for very long yeah for a very long time down the line.
Yeah, that's just very interesting. I feel like there's a lot, like, with US competition shows and UK competition shows, a lot of older contestants who get on those shows and, like, do really well, they do have a career out of it, like, no matter their age. But I think maybe Hong Kong is a little different because it's so, what is the word? Like, there's only, like, a few big,
it's very hard to break into.
Yeah. And there's only a few big managing.
Mm-hmm.
Companies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's kind of like, sad.
In a way, I don't know how people, like how singers get discovered in Hong Kong, except from these singing competitions. You know, so like in order to break into the industry, like you'll have to show up at these competitions and get noticed.
Either that or you get casted, like, in a big, like, TV show or something. Because I don't think Lam Feng was big until he got casted in TV shows. Yeah, but I think if you want to be a singer, or if you want to, like, go into singing from acting, I feel like that's also another route that people take. Like, once you make a name for yourself, like, you can develop the music in the music industry if you wanted to, I feel like.
I feel like it's the other way, though. I don't know. Yeah, that's true. Like, okay, I can go both ways.
Yeah. But yeah, I can think of some people who like Lamfeng like sings too.
Not that good though. Chok chok.
Chok chok. I just know seeing all teachung sing. Okay, anyways. Like they sing theme songs for the TV shows that they're in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, sometimes like honestly it just feels like TVB they don't have enough staffs, like they're understaffed or something. And they have to find like these not like random, but like people who are not like, who are not specific to that talent to like do sing. Like they need to find actors to do a singer's job or a singer to find to do an actor's job.
It's like, all really, it's all like it all. Like if you're an actor you probably would have to sing, and if you're a singer you probably would have to act or like host or stuff. Even like Gongze, like Miss Hong Kong, like they have to, they get into acting. Like the goal of the whole thing, of the whole competition, we should do that, a Miss Hong Kong and Mr. like Hong Kong Scene San like episode. But the whole goal of that is also to get into the entertainment industry and like movies and game shows and whatever. So I wonder if some of them have branched out to singing. Anyways, so the voice ended. Oh, I hope I'm not wrong with information, but I think it ended in 2015. And since then, there has not been any talent competition show until 2018, where there was the Goodnight Show, Chunmen Jouseng, which is the one where Miru was born out of. And it has been 8 years since the last talent competition. So, what do we think about this 8-year age gap? Because that's a long time, like, to stop. Like, also with The Voice being, like, somewhat successful for producing, like celebrities.
Yeah, I think, well, like, I think it's quote-unquote successful because it's, I think they're built out of like exposure and money, you know, because TVB has such a big coverage over Hong Kong. They just need to cast those people in order to make them famous. Not necessarily like just because of their talent and everything, which is another reason why it's like hard to break into the industry because you need these big companies to get you exposure. Anyways. But the reason why I think there's a big year gap, like, I think, yes, even though, like, they produced some popular stars, I think the views were decreasing at the time. It wasn't, like, that popular. You know, I remember back then, the few points, like they call it, I think the metric is few points in TVB, like of the big hit shows, some of the big hit shows, they will reach like 40, like a score of like 40 or something.
Yeah,
but like I think for these shows they're just probably just like 20 something, like closer to 30. I feel like there's not as lucrative anymore, and I didn't even know there's a third season of The Voice. I think it's just my speculation, but because TVB has been producing so many talent shows, and maybe the results are not really making up for all the money and resources that they put into.
True. Yeah. And I feel like at the time, like, back when we were just starting secondary school, the acting market was so saturated. Like, there were so many famous and popular actors and actresses. like a plus. Like, I feel like now it's like, yeah, you see the same people and there's some new people and whatever. But at the time, there was like so many options. There were so many famous actors and actresses that are big.
Like,
so
I think that's saturated.
Yeah. So I think that's also why they focused more on TV shows and growing that. Yeah. And they were all younger too. So I think they focused on growing that rather than like singing competitions. Mm-hmm. And I would admit that the shows back then were really freaking good. Like, they were so good. Like, Gong Sam Gai, like, hello, that was so good. Or, like, all those shows with, like, Lam Feng and Se Si Man. Like, oh, that was just so good.
Yeah. And actually, another thing that I think might be a possible reason is also because of how I think, like, Cantopop in general was experiencing, like, a low time for Cantopop, like a dip, was experiencing like a dip, like how I think in the previous episodes, like we also talk about, you know, like there's no progression in like Cantopop, and it's just over again with like sad love songs, and it feels like the most popular singers are always the few ones that we always go back to. I think that has to do with like globalization and how, you know, during that time, that's when social media became like a bigger thing, and you know, our generation get exposed to other foreign music, Western artists, and that's why like the Cantopop industry is suffering, and that also leads to why these competitions, you know, as many people know about these competitions and artists that was born out of it.
That's true. Yeah. And like, once something doesn't get that many views, it just perpetuates into this cycle where there just won't be resources like going there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, after 9 years, or 8 years, actually, after 8 years, finally, it got revived. And I think it got revived because of the pause in the Cantopop industry, but also because there has not been any new, and no breath of fresh air in so long. Like, there has been new artists here and there, but there has not been, like, a bunch, like, a lot. Like, I can name a bunch of, like, new artists off the top of my head. So yeah. So this new show that started in 2018, the one that Mirror was born from, is called Goodnight Show, Chunmun Joseng. And they started the show because they wanted to foster new stars in Hong Kong. And in 2018, in July, it launched on ViuTV, which is the new, like, I guess a competitor to TVB, but it's also like a broadcasting channel, and there are currently 4 seasons of the show. And for the first 3 seasons, 99 boys were recruited, and they were like, once they got recruited, they were already like picked by different media outlets, like different entertainment outlets, to sign them like in the future and stuff. It was very interesting because I feel like that happens at the end usually, but this happens in the beginning. And then other than like the previous talent shows where it's really focused on like the singing and, you know, what they do on stage, this new show, Kingmaker, actually has like fan meetings. Like, they have like documentaries following like the top 10 contestants' lives. And they also have a US training tour, which I did not know about, where they go to LA and then they get like dance training from like a very famous dancer, Travis Payne. I do not know who that is, but
yeah, I don't know.
And then they come back from LA and then and then they come back from LA and they do the finals. And I think in this in the newer competitions, they do a lot of like dance, like you don't sing, you don't just sing, but you like dance, or you do like group singing, or you do group dances. Like, it's very like molding all aspects of like what a celebrity is, basically, more than rather just focusing on like singing. And I think singing talent shows, you do have to have some, like the old ones, you do have to have some sort of like celebrity figure like, not celebrity figure, but celebrity, not like body wise, celebrity talent. What is that? What is that? Do you know what I mean?
Powerful.
Yeah. Or like the potential to become like celebrity personality. Like, I think you do have to have some sort of celebrity personality to make it. But these new competitions, like, really train and, like, develop that side.
Yeah. I think these, like, new competition, they focus more on, like you said, the personal lives of these singers. Like, when we talk about Mirror, we talk about how, like, this group of boys, they came from backgrounds just like us. But when I think from the competition in long time ago, we didn't see any shows that would dig deeper into their personal life, and the goal of it is to make them into like untouchable big stars. But I think now the strategy has changed. You know, people like celebrities that are very grounded and relatable.
I think it definitely plays a factor of like popularity among the audience, because that's also like how they determine their votes, right? Like, they have popular vote and they have judges vote. And I feel like personally, because I'm such like a feelings emotional person, knowing the story behind the person will make me more inclined to like vote for them. Like, liking them more will make me more inclined to vote for them. And a lot of like even UK talent shows, they do a little excerpt before the person comes out and performs of like, oh, I'm doing this like for my family. Like, I like, they have some sort of backstory that makes you like want to support and connect with them more. So I think that was a good move of like them, the newer shows doing that and showcasing that you were all just like human like you.
So you talked about how like for the first 3 seasons of The Kingmaker, it was an all-male competition. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about like how it reflects on the Hong Kong society? Honestly, I don't understand why like 3 seasons of just guys. Like, where are the girls?
Hello? Yeah, like they just did a season with all girls. You should call it like, I don't know, even the name, right? Like, well, the translation, the name is Chunmun Joseng, which is like gender neutral, but Kingmaker, the English name of it, I don't know, like, where are the girls? Like, what? Maybe, like, as you said before we started recording, we're talking about this, and you were saying how maybe right now the entertainment, like, the company managing these celebrities are in a need of like a boy band. Maybe they've seen the success of boy bands in like Korea, like K-pop. Yeah, like BTS. So maybe that's why they wanted to focus more on like male celebrity, like,
you know. I think like also like how we talked about like it feels okay for a young girl to go after an older like boy band, but it's less weird. No, it's weirder when it's the opposite, where like a group of guy like being crazy over a girl group.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, creating a boy group is, that group can appeal to, I feel like it can appeal to like all kinds of both genders easier. And also for girls, I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like we can go crazier than guys. You know, we get all the merch, you know, you line up for stuff.
Yeah, I can see that.
Things, you know, I think from the company perspective, there's probably like they can foresee a better profit from a boy band first to test the temperature and then see if that succeeded, then they will like create a girl group.
not saying any of these is okay. I don't think it is. But, like, thinking from the company perspective, maybe those are the reasons.
I can see that being the reason. I get what you're saying. But, yeah, but 3 seasons?
Yeah. I think Mira was born out of the first, right?
Yeah, the first in 2018. But I don't know. That just kind of reflects, like, on the bigger society of Hong Kong. And that's
very misogynist.
Yeah, I was going to say that's up to you listeners to decipher.
Okay, but might be a little off topic, but another thing I want to rant about is, so I was watching the debut of Caller. Which is the new girl group that was born out of the Goodnight Show, that Mirror is born out of. And when they're introducing this group, they're explaining the meaning behind their name. And they're like, color means the beautiful parts of women, the collarbone. And I was like, what?
What? Like,
yeah.
Like, are you, like, that's so objectifying. Like, while Mirror, they have such a meaningful and deep name. They're like, oh, like, they're like, oh, like, it's the unlimited, you know, like when there are so many 12 mirrors together, you see like infinite possibilities. And then for the girl group, just color because they have nice collarbones, and I'm like, what is happening? Yeah, that just makes me kind of mad. And but then the fact that so many people also support it, like, reflects Hong Kong is
yeah
there's some underlying problem.
Yeah, and I think I don't know if this is true looking at the two. No, Mirror is pretty diverse. I think, like, Mirror's members are pretty diverse, but when you look at which members are actually, like, popular among the audience, like, you will see a common factor of their appearance. And I think it's hard because I think this show, Truman Joseng, like Kingmaker, it's been on since 2018, so it's more established than the new one that we're going to talk about. But I think for the past few years, like, this show probably has some negative impact and, like, connotation to young people about, like, celebrity beauty standards and, like, what it means to be beautiful and, like, handsome and, like, pretty and whatever, you know, like, they have a huge influence on, like, fashion trends, and, like, people, like, want to dress like them, people want to look like them. And I don't know, it's kind of, I think it's always been there, like, the beauty standards within celebrities. Like, if you look at older celebrities and female celebrities specifically, they all look really similar. Like, they're the same font, a different word. Like, they all look like the same font. And I think with these newer artists coming up, I think it helps a little bit because new artists, like, if you look in Collar, like, the winner, Marf, she, like, has a very specific bang, and, like, yeah, she, like, has her, like, hair half dyed. Yeah, like, she's, like, more street. I feel like she's more streetwear. Like, she's more, like, mm-hmm, like, rocking that, like, not your typical, like, petite, like, Simon, like, Asian, you know?
Yeah, petite and, like, fragile. And
yeah. So I think in that aspect, like, there is good in it where we branch out of that, like, typical mold. Like, if you see a very popular celebrity, like, younger too, like, looking not the typical standard of beauty, but also, it also at the same time reinforces, like, more beauty standards. Because they all are very skinny.
Yeah, they're all very skinny. That is no doubt. And they have, like, fair skin too.
Like, yeah. Skin. Yeah. And even in Mirror, like, all the men are pretty, well, I don't want to say they're muscular, but they're fit.
And we talked about the error group, portrayed as, like, an error out of that show, that's like where they have a bigger person in that group.
Yeah. Anyways.
Thanks for hearing our rant.
Yeah, thanks for listening to our rant. This will be a long episode.
Yeah.
We're finally on to the last talent show and the newest talent show.
The Stars Academy. And it was first aired on the J Channel on January 3rd, 2021. And some of the big stars that came out of this show are Yi Minghee, Gigi, and Chantel. These shows actually have, like, surprisingly, they got a pretty big success compared to, I think, back in 2008 with The Voice, because I think because of the power of social media, and now, like, these big broadcast companies, they are getting smarter at how to utilize these platforms, that, like, after the show is released, they will put snippets of the show onto YouTube so people can listen to the song that was aired on that day. And some of the videos actually got, like, a lot of views. One of the biggest one was from Chantel. She sang Love Notice, 轮到你了. And it reached 1 million views within 24 hours of uploading. And it has accumulated over 4.7 million views. Like, which is, like, so crazy if you think about it. Because 1 million, that's, like, 1/7 of the Hong Kong population.
I'm looking it up. I'm watching it after this.
Yeah. Well, I think, like, she gives off a very sweet vibe. Sweet.
She does. She does.
Vibe. And when she sang that song, it just feels very sweet. It's like a high school girl, like, oh, like falling in love with a person and, like, singing this song kind of vibe. Like, it makes you feel very Ting Chen and innocent.
Yes.
Yeah. You should listen to it. It's good. I wouldn't say it's, like, my favorite, but it's good. And another interesting fact from this Star Academy show is that so the company TVB, they actually chose 15 contestants that who made it to the final competition, and it was chosen out of like 1500 people, which is like kind of crazy. Yeah, that's a lot. But something that's interesting is, like, these 15 contestants, like, they were asked to sign a 5-year contract with The Voice Entertainment Group Limited, which is like a subsidiary entertainment company under TVB, before they even do that show. I think that's, like, kind of interesting how they are required to sign that contract.
Mm-hmm.
And after these shows, a lot of the, especially the top contestants, they also got more quote-unquote jobs from TVB. They kind of became the go-to artist for TVB shows' theme songs. They had a song for Doraemon, Tokyo Olympics, and and other TV shows on TVB. And not only that, I think TVB and just, like, these entertainment companies in general, they're very good at utilizing, like, these contestants and then make more content out of it, if that makes sense. Like, after the competition ended, like, there are other extensions of that show. They had a show called Birth of the Legend that talks about their thoughts and experiences since participating in the competition. There's also a show called Sing Mo Junior, like Dream Star Junior, where they'll be given, like, singing and dancing training opportunities for people between ages of 11 and 15 who are interested in performing arts, which turned into, like, another show for them. And
Crystal, you actually been to this one. There's a concert called First Life on Stage where the 15 contestants perform in that concert.
Watch it on TV. I wish I went to watch it live.
Oh, I thought you went. Oh, that
no. Was I watched the so every year they have this like charity a singing show where they invite like famous celebrities to come sing and perform, but then they raise money for charity. So that's the one I went to. But then the Stars Academy performance, I saw it on TV and they were really good. Also shout out to Lam Yan Tong, Mag Lam, who won The Voice. She was a like mentor on that show. So it's funny, full circle. But yeah, I think that them doing the kids training with the kids, the junior, the Singmong junior, whatever, I think that's really cool because it's putting more of an emphasis on arts and not just you need to study and be a doctor or a lawyer or, you know, business person. But I don't know what they're doing to train the kids. Yeah. I don't know if that exposure for kids at a young age is that good, like that public exposure. But it's cool that they're focusing more on the arts and developing that. But
yeah,
I think something also that we want to talk about with this show in particular is that the winners of this season, Gigi and is it Chantel or Chantel?
Like, I don't know, C-H-A-N-T-E-L.
Chantel. And the other two runner, like the third place, I think, also is Yumi. They all have this, like, girl band, basically. But all of them are 16 or 15. Like, 15, 16. Like, not even, like, adult age. In Hong Kong, like, when you're 18, you're an adult. But, like, they're not even, like, they're, I don't know, they're so young. And we were talking about this before we started recording of like, what are the chances that they would be exploited by their company? Because they probably are just so excited to like, you know, to win and to like start, like they're obviously passionate about singing. So like, they're obviously excited to start their career in this field, but it's also like, isn't that just setting them up to be exploited? I don't know.
Because they also need to sign that contract. And, like, think about it, like, at 16, they're still preparing for DST, too. I remember, like, watching the Star Academy show, they were talking about how some of them are actually preparing for DST. Actually need to go through it, like, this past year. DST while being on that competition. Like, can you imagine? But I can't imagine the stress and pressure that they're going through and with, like, schools and everything, and they still have the contract. Like, how do they make it work
during COVID? But yeah, I hope that they are like treated well. And I think as beginners in the entertainment industry, like, it's really easy to be underpaid because you don't know what the standard is, or just in any field, to be honest,
like me.
So I it's okay, I am unemployed. But I really hope that there are laws that protect them. We don't know if there are laws in Hong Kong that protect them, though. Like, they're underage. But they're so young. They're so young.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also, do you want to talk about how, like, this draw similarities between how, like, Disney will train, like, young artists and singers and then cultivate them into being, like, bigger stars when they grow up, like Olivia, Miley Cyrus.
That was like one of the first connections I made. I was like, because we were talking about like the pipeline between these talent shows and like being like a Hong Kong celebrity, and I was like, wow, it really, like, it does open a lot of opportunities for you in terms of like a lot of Disney stars and Nickelodeon stars, like Ariana Grande, like Selena Gomez. They all started with a contract Ariana with Disney. Too? She was on Nickelodeon. She was on Victorious.
I did not know that.
Yeah. She started acting.
They're all so young. What about Justin Bieber?
No, Justin Bieber was YouTube. Like, he got founded on YouTube. Yeah. But a lot of these young actors who started with these huge companies are often, like, I don't know if they were exploited, but I know that a lot of them felt like they had to be a certain way, like, to appeal to kids, like, very PG, very kid-friendly, like, PR's dream, you know? And I feel like a lot of the new stars now in Hong Kong are the same way. Like, they feel like they have to be perfect or else they would be shunned. And even with, like, Miley Cyrus, like, she became, like, bad, quote-unquote. But, like, she just grew up. Like, she's just older now. And because Disney portrayed her in such, like, a perfect light, she was getting so much backlash for it. Like, there's just so much pressure on these kid stars to be perfect. And I know a lot of, like, I know Disney, like, even, like, I watched an interview with Jonas Brothers once, and they were on Disney Channel. And they have perfected how to, like, curveball questions and turn a negative question into a good answer because they've been trained for so many years by Disney to, like, not talk bad about their company ever. So that was the first, like, connection I made. I was like, wow, it's really similar, and I hope that they – I don't know. I hope that they were treated well and they're enjoying their jobs, like, the work that they do, because they're at every single event. And always in the front row. Summer was saying before this, she was like they're probably forced. Wait, did you say this? You were saying something about they're probably forced to, like, sing the Doraemon theme song.
Yeah.
They don't really have freedom.
Like, I mean, like, they can say no, but then when they, it's like being in that industry, when you say no once, they're just going to be like, well, then I'm not going to give you another job.
No, you have yeah, like, their career is on the line.
It is true. Like, you know, it is the reality that you have to say yes, and you also need to work from the very bottom to climb up the ladder and be famous in the Hong Kong entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm. But they all joined, like, this competition to sing. Like, they're all really great singers.
Yeah.
Imagine them, like, hating acting and being put into... being an actor.
Like, I just saw so many, like, of the contestants that came out of that show, like, they're just being MC or, like, being a reporter on what do you call those, like, bakwa,
like, entertainment news,
like, entertainment news.
They have a, like, the girls born out of this show, Stars Academy, and some guys, I think, Archie and someone else, they're in this TVB show called, Qingchun Mei Buno, something like that. Qingchun Buno. And I'm like, what if they hate acting? Like, you're just using them for views at this point.
Yeah.
But I guess their contract probably, like, signed, like, they're obligated to. But yeah, I'm telling you, big companies like that have loopholes to, like, They're sus.
Anyways, another rant. Thanks for listening to another rant.
Anyways, to conclude, we wanted to close with this question, this reflection question that we hope you also reflect on it with us. So what do we think that these new talent shows have reflected? Or how have these talent shows reflected the changing of times in our society now?
I think it's both, like, changing and, like, not changing. Aspect of it that has just always been the same, too. I do think that, like, you wrote it in the notes, too. Like, I think there was a heavier Westernization and Western culture influence over...
In the past.
Yeah, in the past.
Or, like, internationalization. Like, like getting out of Hong Kong was the goal, right? Like, having your music to be out of Hong Kong, I feel like that was the goal. Mm-hmm. Or getting recognized by people, by more masses. But it seems like now, a lot of these Hong Kong artists are very local and, what is the word? Like, Hong Kong born, have Hong Kong pride. Localized. Like, a lot of them are, yeah, localized. Like, they're more, well, I don't know if they want to make it out of Hong Kong, but a lot of these shows are very grounded in Hong Kong.
Yeah. I think especially from Viu TV is very grounded in Hong Kong. I think, though, like, for TVB, they probably have the ambition to expand to mainland China.
Mm-hmm. At least mainland China. Yeah, definitely.
I'm not sure about internationally,
but they do have a lot of connection with the industry.
And yeah, even like way before too, like when they did the first singing competition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I also think that, yeah, it is interesting how I think in the past, in like the older singing competitions, there are more Western influence, because I think back then we were still a British colony. Hong Kong people in general, we have an admiration for Western culture. That was also the time when, you know, like Madonna was a thing, you know, Michael Jackson was a thing, and then we see like California Dream was a thing. We see like these, like also the golden era of how the world perceived Western culture too. And that's how it affected why there's such a huge like Western influence over the singers in the past. True. And the ambition to expand outside of Hong Kong. But I think like because in recent year, again, because of the Hong Kong and China relation, and also because of the political unrest that we have been experiencing, like Hong Kong people, we are slowly recognizing the importance to stay true to our roots and understand what makes us unique. You know, being a Hong Konger is what makes us unique and is so valuable. And I think that's why there are more Hong Kong pride in recent shows.
Yeah, I can see that. And I think, I guess the biggest difference between these two shows, or older shows and newer shows, is that older shows focus more on just the singing, and these newer shows are actually there to, yeah, like I see it both ways. Like a good thing about it is that, yes, like it's important to, like they're more personalized, you know, like these, the audience gets to get a look into their lives and get to know them as a person rather than just like their talent, I guess. But a bad thing is, I think, not that it wasn't like capitalized in corporate before, I think in a way it might be even more like corporate and capitalized, because they're molding them into like what they think is a successful celebrity.
Yeah, or like a relatable celebrity.
It's like, are you really letting them be? Are they really relatable if you're molding them?
Yeah, you're molding them to being relatable.
Yeah. So is it fake? Like, it's probably not fake. Like, there's all obviously aspects of real. But I just think that in a way, you get to understand them more and be more well-rounded, like, with their whole, them as a whole person. But at the same time, this new algorithm of them doing things this way also is more corporate. Like, I feel like it's more controlling in a way.
It's more controlling over a person's, like, all aspects of a person's life. Because before, it seems like, you know, like, you're a singer and you're just a singer. But now, because, like, people are wanting more content, they want to see more of your private life, that they have to reveal everything about themselves and to show it to the public to become quote-unquote successful.
Like, you're an influencer and a singer and an actor and, like, a host and a game show host and, like, a game show guest. Like, just everything at the same time now. I don't know which is better. Like, there's good and bad to both. But I think that just shows how society, I don't know if that shows more of like social media's influence and how influencers, people like influencers because they're relatable. So they're trying to mold celebrities into influencers.
I think the underlying theme here is capitalism.
Capitalism. Very true.
Yes, capitalism. Okay, wow. Like, honestly, it was such a good episode. Like, it was really long, but it was really good because, like, as I'm talking about this, I feel like I'm realizing more things about Hong Kong that I didn't realize before. Like, I didn't realize, oh, yeah, you're right. Like, there's a pipeline there that there is actually a process of how they make stars quote unquote famous.
And I think it helped me empathize with the celebrities more. Mm-hmm. And I think, I don't know, I've just heard a lot of positive comments about them, and like they are like really like breath of fresh air and stuff, but like remember that they're probably going through a lot in the bad, like that's so much pressure on them at such a young age. So don't hate them online. Don't like give them like, don't cyberbully them, because they're gonna lose hope in the world like some Disney stars. This was an all in all very reflective episode, and we were even talking about it before, like before we started recording. So wow, we hope you learned a little bit more about talent shows and its influence in Hong Kong. It was really fun and interesting for us to do this, even though some of the information might be a little bit messy.
But yeah, we hope you get to like learn about a different side of Hong Kong. I think that's our main goal of this season, to like to know that, you know, Hong Kong is not just all about the neon lights, street food, or the political unrest. You know, there are so many different aspects of Hong Kong that we want to introduce you to. You enjoy.
We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye.